Well, this morning we have Kimberly Thielen Kramer is from the Department of Agriculture here in Minnesota. She's the head of our Gypsy Moth program, and we're welcoming her to the program this morning to talk a little bit about, as just recently in the first half of the month, there has been treatments and spraying of areas in Cloquet, Duluth, White Iron Lake, and Two Harbors. And good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And let's just start at the beginning for some people are new to it, and especially if they're in a newly treated area, because it is a spring and then they get notifications and they may wonder, what is it that is happening? So there is the danger of the gypsy moth, and what are the hazards of this particular moth?
Well, gypsy moth is an invasive species, so it's not native to Minnesota nor the U.S., in fact. It's a tree defoliator, and what I mean by a tree defoliator is it will feed on up to 300 species of trees and shrubs. So it has a very wide host range and causes widespread defoliation, stressing both our natural trees in our landscape as well as our urban environments and our backyard trees as well. So significant stresses there.
And then that goes up the food chain for other native creatures.
That's correct. You know, gypsy moth is, you know, once it moves in this invasive, it doesn't have a lot of natural predators. So the population doesn't, you know, maintain in check. It kind of increases and it causes widespread. So it really outcompetes other natives that are in the area, as does, you know, a typical invasive species, you know, really throwing that natural ecology off.
So I'm guessing this is learned from where other places the gypsy moth has really taken hold. Where does northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota sit in it moving in? It's trying.
Yes, gypsy moth was established out east in Massachusetts and has since been moving westward into Wisconsin and into northern Minnesota, and eventually it will move all the way into the entire state of Minnesota. So we are watching it kind of like a forest fire as it's coming into the state. We're trying to slow that natural population spread, eliminate these isolated populations way out in advance of that front. So it's kind of like a forest fire moving its way into Minnesota.
And so what exactly is the method of the battle? It is, I'm not sure I can say it. Is it that you're spraying Bacillus thuringiensis?
Yes, it's a tough one to say. It's Bacillus thuringiensis Christakii, or otherwise known as BTK. It's an organic, natural occurring biological insecticide that we utilize that's very sensitive to the environment, yet impacts and is able to control these isolated populations of gypsy moth as they come into the state.
And so this is something, this particular thing is kind of natural to caterpillars, but then it kind of gets them at that caterpillar stage. And so then the concern is, and there has been for other companies who've kind of developed this and looked forward at it, that it does it affect the monarch larva and caterpillars as well. Well, the USDA asserts that the most common one doesn't. But what is... what is the public reaction, or what is the knowledge that you have in this area?
Yeah, Bacillus thuringiensis Christakii, the variety, impacts moth lepidopteran, so moth and butterfly caterpillars. The key to the impact is it's got a very short window of active before it's broken down readily in sunlight, 3 to 5 days, it's readily broken down. So there's a very small window in which there's an active toxic to those small lepidopteran or moth and butterfly caterpillars. And the key is they have to be actively feeding during that time period and in the very early instar stages of development as the caterpillar. So very large caterpillars may not have impact, as well as if they're still in the moth form or pupa form. So they have to be within that growth stage as well as actively feeding during that time period.
So it does scoop up butterfly, but maybe not as wide a impact?
Yeah, you know, we We always talk about what we consider non-target impacts, so the impacts to other moth and butterfly caterpillars that may be in the area at the time of the application. We look at that, you know, these isolated areas are fairly small in size. When we do our projects, the native populations will then easily move into the area within that, you know, second year after application. So the benefit we have is we get rid of an invasive that may have other detrimental impacts to outcompete other natives, moth and butterflies. We're getting rid of that invasive to allow those natural to continue to thrive in the area.
So it is a balance, and hope that the ones that are native will continue.
That is correct, and we've seen that through. There's been some really great research that's been done on that topic as well to look at the impacts to natives, and then the recolonization. And so, we see that happens pretty readily in these isolated areas. And typically, our projects we do, you know, extremely rare are applications done in the same sites, a continuous basis. Typically, it's a one and done, and we're moving out for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and we may be back. We may never be back, you know, as well.
Is there numbers from some of the past places? Do you then track, and what do the numbers look like? Is it working, and what is the success on this?
Yeah, we do survey. Every time we do an application, we do follow up with intensive surveys. So many folks will see these small little tent-shaped traps throughout the area. So we intensively survey the area to assure that the project is successful, that we've eliminated gypsy moth from the area, and we continue to do that. So we do that after application, and we're actually doing that throughout Minnesota to try to find these isolated populations as well. So many folks will see these little cardboard tent-shaped traps. We set over 20,000 of them across the state of Minnesota.
Well, we hope that it has the positive effect of working against the gypsy moths. I know that there's the project of the Texas to Duluth Monarch Highway, and the people who fund that project. Is there communication with those people, or...
We do, you know, through our environmental review process, we do, you know, send out notification. We do press releases. We look at all these non-target impacts as well. So, you know, the notification, we try to get as much feedback from residents and individuals about potential impacts and try to address those concerns as well. So that is definitely something that is important to us. We take very seriously, and we want to partner with as many folks as well.
And what has been the public feedback moving forward with the projects this June?
You know, overall, we've had a very positive response. Folks are concerned of the impacts that gypsy moth will have to once they do become established. So the widespread, defoliation, the stresses to their backyard trees, the massive amount of caterpillars, you know, crawling around when they're trying to do their outdoor activities. So folks do have a lot of concerns, and they're concerned of another invasive in our ecosystem causing, you know, continuous damage. So overall, you know, you always do have some folks that have concerns, and we try to address those the best we can. But overall, it's been a very positive response.
Well, my last question is, being from northern Minnesota here my whole life, are they related to the army worm? And
so we get that. That's a very common question. A lot of folks are asking, you know, how is this similar? How is this different? And we actually compare it very similar. So it's a forest hen caterpillar. A lot of people call it army worm. They do very similar damage. The significant difference is forest hen caterpillar is native. So we have the natural kind of predators and prey, you know, cycles that happen. Mm-hmm. So every 8 to 10 years, where gypsy moth does not have that. So it's going to be a very interesting dynamic once gypsy moth enters the area which forest hen caterpillar is, and how they will respond. You know, will we have multiple years of defoliation with forest hen caterpillar, armyworms all over, and then gypsy moth all over? And, you know, it's going to be an interesting dynamic as we, you know, move in, as the insect moves into the state.
Well, we hope we can keep it at bay. And are they, I guess one last question, are they on a similar, I know it was like every few years that the armyworms would come around. Are gypsy moths have a longer kind of cycle where they upcycle and downcycle as well?
Yeah, we're seeing some cycling in the natural population. The significant impact is there is a virus and a fungus that has kind of been coming along with the population. That it depend, and it's so weather dependent. Those fungus and bacteria are so so weather dependent. So it's really difficult to know, but they do cycle. They do have a, but it's a much broader cycling. And the initial when an invasive comes into a new area, the initial damage is more significant. So they're going to stress a lot more trees. You're going to have a lot broader defoliation than until that population kind of comes in to check a little bit, and the, some of those viruses and the fungus can move in with that population.
Well, let's wrap up here, but I just want to check back in on the treatment areas. There's probably 1,000 acres that has been treated in Cloquet, Duluth, all combined, and Two Harbors. And is there any concerns, and what should people do to, if they have had areas sprayed, are they is there concerns, or is there cleanup that they should do, and how long does this last?
You know, the product we use, Bexalus Thuringens Christakii, like I mentioned earlier, does readily break down in sunlight, UV sunlight, within 3 to 5 days. So the last time we did the application, and it's a natural occurring, you know, product in the soil. You find it in soils worldwide. So we did applications last Tuesday. Was our last day of application, so we're already about 7 days out. So truly the active ingredient has been readily broken down. You've had great, you know, fairly great weather throughout the last week. The impact is pretty minimal. If folks are concerned, they can always wash any outdoor articles with soap and water, and that will take off any residue. But at this point, it's pretty much, you know, broken down with the UV, with the weather and conditions.
Excellent. And not a hazard to the dogs, pets, or kids, people?
Absolutely not. BTK, actually, we don't have any mammals, birds, bees, all those kind of insects. It literally passes right through our bodies. So we have literally, there's no impact to mammals, birds, bees, those kind of things.
Well, thank you for taking the time on this Tuesday morning. And keep us in the loop if there's more about the gypsy moths.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Bye now.
The Minnesota Department of Agriculture did treatments for gypsy moths in Cloquet, 460 acres. And this all happened in in the first 2 weeks of June. It looks like they just wrapped up last week. White Iron Lake outside of Ely, and then in Two Harbors, 526 acres centered in the intersection of Shoreview Road and 7th Avenue. There is information at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture website.